We're going to read together that short little psalm that introduces the book of Psalms, the Psalm 1. Let's read it together then. You follow as I read. Psalm 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts. David is the psalmist here. He gives us a wonderful exposition of the difference between the godly man and the ungodly man. You will see in the opening three verses something wonderful set forth concerning the believer. Consider, David tells us here, the deportment of the believer. He tells us about the believer's walk, the believer standing, and the believer sitting. There's something distinct about the believer's deportment. He tells us that the believer is not going to walk in the counsel of the ungodly. He's not going to heed the ungodly's advice or thinking or philosophy. That's what it means. Would God we could follow that. There's far too much today by way of the counsel of the ungodly encroaching in upon the thinking of the Christian. And of course, the way these things work, you don't realize that you have been contaminated with the thinking of the world. But it has contaminated the church to a very large degree. It has marked the whole attitude of Christians toward many things. God has told us what we should think about every topic under the sun. But so often we neglect what God tells us, and we pick up the views of the world, and we begin to put into practice just what the world believes. I have found myself engaged in conversations with Christians dealing with topics that I consider very simple and straightforward and everyday, if I might use that phrase. And as I set out what I consider the Bible's teaching on these things, I know by the expression on their face that they are hearing that which amazes them. And the amazement is that of someone who is basically listening to somebody raving and expounding nonsense. Because although it's the teaching of the Bible, they have drifted so far from that teaching, when they hear the teaching of the Bible, they think it's mad. They think that I have just come up with this fancy notion all of myself. But that is only an indication of Christians who, in one topic or another, have begun to walk in the counsel, in the thinking, in the notions, in the advice, in the philosophy of the ungodly. I suppose I was going to say one of the most common topics that shows this drift away from God's counsel into what is the ungodly's counsel. It has to do with parenting today. Most parents have drifted away and they're astounded. I have seen Christians aghast at the idea of doing that which God commands them to do by way of disciplining their children. They're aghast. If the Lord were about today, they'd be reporting him to the NSPCC as someone who is an instigator of cruelty, because they have drifted away into the thinking of man. Well, the true believer should not. The blessed believer does not. Blessed is the man that walketh not. If you're going to know God's blessing, then you will not drift into the ways of the ungodly. So here's the deportment of the believer. Then in the verse 2 we have the delight of the believer. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. What do you find in the Bible? Why are you always reading in the Bible? I've heard that said. What is there in it? I have never found anything in it. Huh? If your eyes are closed to the Bible, if they haven't been opened by grace, of course you'll see nothing. But the one who is alive in Christ will find much in the law of God. In his law doth he meditate day and night. Now, let me tell you, David was talking about a much smaller Bible than the one you possess. David was talking about a Bible in which there was nothing of the New Testament, and there was nothing of the prophets, for they hadn't yet come on the scene. Their words weren't yet written. So he was talking about a very slim volume in comparison to your Bible, and yet that volume, he principally was talking about the five books of Moses. He found great blessing there. He found great blessing there, sufficient to bring him back day and night to this precious book. This is the delight then of the child of God who's blessed of the Lord. And then notice the development of the believer in the verse 3. For the one who is blessed of God and doesn't walk in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the way of sinners, nor sit on the seat of the scornful, but instead meditates in God's law, well, you're going to see things happen in that man's life. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall not prosper. Shall prosper, rather. Shall prosper. This is the development that will take place in the life of the believer who obeys God, reads the Word, and meditates in it. They'll be blessed of the Lord and develop in this fashion. Now, having told us about the believer, the blessed man, David then turns his attention to the ungodly in the verse 4, and here we have our text. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Here's an unflattering portrait of a sinner, and it's hanging up in God's gallery. He's like the chaff, God says. He's like the chaff. There is a total dismissal of the sinner, in the words of David. He, having set forth what the believer, the blessed person, is like, he says, but the ungodly are not so. There's absolutely no likeness between the blessed man and the ungodly. They are not so. In fact, this little phrase that we have here, the ungodly are not so, quite literally reads, not so the ungodly. Not so. It's a double negative, a repeating of the negative. Not so the ungodly. Not so. Oh, that we might recognize, and that those who are not saved might recognize, that there is nothing of the blessing of God to be discovered in their lives because of their sin. All that the believer is, and has, and will be, the ungodly is not so. The ungodly is not so. It will not be so with them. Now consider with us the title that is given here to the unsaved. They're called the ungodly. The word simply means the wicked or a criminal. One who is in defiance of God's law. Who is in rebellion against God's throne. And who will not bow before God's authority. David says of this person, this ungodly one, the sinner, that he is like the chaff. The words are instructive. Let me first of all point out to you the fact that the chaff is but the hollow form wherein once abode the precious seed. We're perhaps not as familiar with these things as a generation or so would have been. Everybody would have seen and come in contact with chaff, it seems to me anyway, a generation ago. Maybe it's just not as common for children anyway to understand what chaff is. But chaff is those two little coverings that surround the good seed, like wheat, or barley, or corn. And when the seed is thrashed, that operation causes these two little coverings to fall off, to be beaten off, and the good seed is separated from it. And what you're left with then is this chaff. And it still sometimes bears a resemblance to what it had been before the good seed was taken out of it. Indeed, it bears a remarkable likeness to it. But it's only a hollow, empty thing. And that's what God chooses to liken sinners unto. They're just like the chaff, he says. A thing that's hollow. A thing which once had within it the precious seed, but now the seed's gone. And it's just a hollow likeness. Just a hollow likeness. Now God's being very accurate when he uses such a picture. This is a very true and accurate likeness of the sinner. Because you see, just like the chaff once was part of a very glorious thing, a very useful thing, a very profitable thing, so sinful man was once a very profitable, precious, useful thing. Man today is but as chaff compared to what he was when he came forth from the hand of God. As the seed growing on the stalk is comprised of the outer hull or shell we call chaff, and then inside it was the seed. So man once had dwelling within him that which was of immeasurable value. But he has it no more. He's just like the chaff. Our shorter catechism in question 10 asks the question, how did God create man? And the answer that is given is, God created man male and female after his own image in knowledge, righteousness, and holiness, with dominion over the creatures. That's what man used to be like. That's what man was like when he came forth from the hand of God. The Westminster Confession of Faith in chapter 4 and paragraph 2 says, after God had made all other creatures, he created man, male and female, with reasonable and immortal souls, endued with knowledge, righteousness, and true holiness, after his own image, having the law of God written in their hearts, and power to fulfill that law, and yet under a possibility of transgressing, being left to the liberty of their own will, which was subject unto change. Beside this law written in their hearts, they received a command not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, which while they kept, they were happy in their communion with God and had dominion over the creatures. Now there's a fuller picture of what man was like before sin entered. He had a physical form, yes, but there dwelt within him something marvelous. We are told he was endued with knowledge, righteousness, and true holiness after God's image. After God's image. But man is no more like that. He's like the chaff. He's like the chaff. The chaff is what's left after the thrashing. After the seed has been thrashed and separated, you're left with the chaff. Just an empty hull of what it used to be. And the thrashing that reduced man to his present chaff-like state was that which took place at the hands of the devil in the Garden of Eden. The devil applied the flail of temptation, and man yielded to temptation and fell into sin and lost that which God had bestowed upon him, and they became as chaff. He became as chaff. Oh, God is painting a very accurate picture here of the sinner. Chaff is a lifeless thing. There's no life in chaff. You could take chaff and bury it in the ground. Nothing will grow. Nothing will grow. There's no life within it. And so such is man. We have been looking at Ephesians, and we're still in the chapter 2, and I need hardly remind the congregation of what is told us in that chapter 2 concerning man. In the verse 1 of chapter 2, we're told, and you have he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. Dead. And man is a lifeless being. Man is chaff. Man is chaff. There's no life in him. And if he remains in the state he is in, he will never know life. There is nothing but death stretching endlessly before him. The chaff, then, is but the hollow form wherein once abode the precious seed. And that's what man is like. Man is but a hollow, empty shell, having lost what once he possessed in the day of his perfection. The chaff, we are told in this text of ours, is very much under the power of the wind. Verse 4 of Psalm 1, the godly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. The chaff is utterly at the mercy of the wind. It's a light thing. It cannot resist the wind. It has no might nor strength. How insubstantial chaff is. I feel a little disadvantaged in that I'm talking here about something perhaps not too many have ever actually physically encountered. And yet, if we were to go along to a heap of chaff, we could take a handful of it and we could throw it up in the air and it would just flutter and float about because it is so insubstantial. It amounts to nothing. And when the wind blows, it just goes with it. Now remember what the Christian is like. We're told that in verse 3, he is like the tree planted by the rivers of water. Now the tree can withstand the wind, but the chaff can't. The chaff can't. It just goes wherever the wind takes it. It's utterly in the control of the wind. Now, that's what man is like. When we read here about the wind blowing the chaff around, man is in the power of an agency that can do with him just whatever it wishes. And we're talking about the devil. He's called, and again I refer to Ephesians, in the chapter 2 and the verse 2, the devil is called the prince of the power of the air. And he can move like the wind and carry away the sinner so that there's no resistance on the part of the sinner to what it is the devil does. Paul goes on in that verse 2 of Ephesians 2 to speak of the devil as that spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. What is it that drives the nations in the paths of defiance of God and disobedience to his law? What is it? I tell you, it's the prince of the power of the air, carrying mankind as chaff wherever it wills. And man is helpless in the grip. In 1 John chapter 5 and the verse 19, there's that statement, that declaration, we know that we are of God and the whole world lieth in wickedness. That word lieth there is the word that's used in Luke chapter 2 where we read of the shepherds rather coming to the manger where they have just been instructed by the angels. And when they come to where the Lord was, they find the babe lying. It's the same word. Can't you picture an infant lying? An infant lies in the arms of the one that carries it. Completely in the control of the one who carries. What can an infant do to hinder the direction in which it's carried? Nothing. Nothing. It doesn't even know the direction it's being carried in. And the whole world lieth. Says John, he lieth in wickedness. Or you could translate that in the arms of the wicked one. The world's carried by the devil, soever he wishes to carry it. That's what the sinner is. And when God says, the ungodly are not so, they are like the chaff, which the wind carries away. God's speaking of mankind like a light thing carried by the wind. Mankind carried by the power of Satan, whithersoever Satan goes. It can't resist the wind. It can't go against the wind. Can't fly in the face of the wind. I've often marveled, you know, on quite a stormy day, when the wind is blowing hard, the trees are bowing before it. I've often noticed, you may well see some crows up and flying, and they're flying into the wind. And I've often marveled at how they can do that. It seems as if they'd just be carried away by the volume of air rushing across the surface of the land. But they're actually flying against it. Oh, now and then they swoop and they're carried by the wind. But when they want to change direction and fly into the wind, they can do it. They have been so designed and have been given strength and ability by the Creator to do such. But the chaff can't. It's just carried. What a dead thing the poor sinner is. He's carried. In Isaiah chapter 64 in the verse 6, but we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. Here is a very similar image. Instead of the chaff, it's the dead leaves. It's the dead leaf. We fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, taketh us away. Well, the chaff isn't far removed from a dead leaf. And the picture of the dead leaf in the power of the wind is just what sinners are like before the devil's power and the power of sin in their lives. It cannot resist. Man can't resist sin, you know. Man can't resist sin. That's what underscores the tragedies of this world. The drunkard, he can't resist his drink. The adulterer, he can't resist his lusts. The smoker, he can't resist his cigarette. The drug addict can't resist. And even though when they look in the mirror and they see the marks of wretchedness upon their countenance, they can't resist. It doesn't give them motive. Well, it possibly does give them motive, all right, but it doesn't give them the ability to do anything about what they may wish to do concerning their lusts and their sins. They can't stop them. Because the ungodly man is like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Dear Christian, tonight, if you can look back on victory over sin, if you can look back on a change in the direction in which you first were going, then just remember that God Almighty made that change by changing you. For as you were in your sins, you were as the chaff. Now the wind will carry it to its final destruction. When wind drives chaff along, it's not bringing it on a course that will elevate it, benefit it, make it useful and profitable. No. The wind will take it and drive it into the dirt and into the filth. And finally, deposit it where it will rot and decay and come to nothing. So it is with the sinner. So it is with the sinner. The wages of sin is death. That's what sin will do. Bring the sinner to death. As we have it stated in James in the first chapter of that general epistle, you have the downward course that a career in sin will always and ever take. Verse 13 of James chapter 1, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then, when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. As the wind drives the chaff finally to destruction, so it is with the powers that control and master the poor sinner. The chaff then is under the power of the wind. And finally, the future for chaff is that of burning. Chaff is so useless, there's just nothing can be done with it. Nothing. Now, farmers generally are men who can find just about a use for anything, even a bent nail. Maybe it's not quite so common today, but I remember when on a wet day the old farmer would get an old box out and he had a whole pile of bent nails, and then he'd get out and he'd spend the wet day straightening the nails and putting them into a jam jar somewhere where he could make use of them again. Now, the fellow who can make use of rusty bent nails can make use of just about anything, but he can't find a use for chaff. Do you know chaff is so useless it won't even make manure for the land? The only thing you could do with chaff was burn it. Burn it. And I remember as a youngster, I remember burning or watching being burned the chaff, following corn being thrashed. That's what awaits the sinner. That's what awaits the sinner. As you look out on your neighbor, on your workman, on your kith and kin who are not saved, what awaits them is the burning. Let me read you some verses. Matthew 7, verse 13, "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction." That's where the sinner's road will take him. Does there come before your face tonight, Christian, a loved one, a friend, an acquaintance, a neighbor, a workmate? They're not saved. Well, listen to what God's word has to say. They're on the road to destruction. Matthew 25:41, "Then shall he," that's Christ, "say unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye accursed, into everlasting fire." That's what awaits the sinner. Luke chapter 3, verse 17, speaking of Christ, "whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor, and will gather the wheat into his garner, but the chaff he will burn with fire unquenchable." That's what awaits the chaff. That's what the future holds for the chaff, and holds nothing else. Chaff is consumed in a slow burning fire. Some of you older men and ladies may remember when chaff was burned, it would burn for days. Oh, not big leaping flames. But it would smolder and burn. There'd be a little flicker here and there, but it would burn on and burn on. Even sometimes when it rained, it still would burn on and burn on until it was all consumed. Slow burning. How slow burning are the fires of hell. So slow burning are they, men and women. They will never burn out. That's why the Lord Jesus in that verse I just read to you, Matthew 25:41, speaks of everlasting fire. Revelation 14:11 says, "And the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and forever." Oh, how slow burning is the fire of damnation. Again, Whenever chaff was burned, it was usually burned in some corner of the field where it was out of sight and out of the way and didn't create a problem and a hindrance to any other work being done in the field. It was just done in a corner. You know, men and women, I think I'm right in saying that hell is a place God puts out of his mind. We read of that place of everlasting punishment in Matthew 8 and 12 as a place of outer darkness. Outer darkness. A darkness that cannot be penetrated. It seems it's out of sight. As I meditated upon this, I thought of a field on my grandfather's land where chaff was often burned and away in a corner out of sight. The burning would take place. Oh, men and women, there is a corner in God's eternal universe, and it's an outer darkness. And it's where the ungodly will spend eternity, in the slow-burning fires of damnation. While the burning took place, the burning of the chaff, the grain, well, it was off on a different path altogether. Carried away to be transformed into that which was useful, beneficial, profitable. Different career altogether, wasn't it? And I tell you that while men and women and young people who have defied the gospel are carried away into outer darkness, there to suffer the eternal burnings of God's hell, those who are redeemed have been carried off into heaven. In Daniel chapter 12 and the verse 3, "And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever." What a contrast to the outer dark is the shining firmament to which the saved, the redeemed, are going. Has not God painted a faithful picture of the sinner? I am amazed as I grow older, I see it every day, that God in nature has illustrated the gospel time and time again. One day our eyes will be opened and we will behold what God has written large in nature, and we will be amazed at the faithful representations that God has set before the eyes of man. But tonight, if you're not saved, you are as the chaff. You're being carried along by the wind, and you're heading for everlasting destruction. It's time to call on the Lord that he might save you, that he might make you anew. For if any man is in Christ Jesus, he is a new creature. New creature. And that which Adam lost in the fall, Christ places within us. Better than what Adam lost, he places within us when we are redeemed. Seek the Lord tonight. Come to Christ this evening if you're not saved. You little ones, you need to think about these matters. May God save you. For Jesus' sake, let's bow in prayer.